Matthew chapter 15. Verses 21 through 28. And before we begin reading, I just want to ask you some questions in light of what we've been talking about in recent weeks and what we're going to encounter in this text today. Because we're gonna come across what I would say is Jesus' greatest opponent. But I thought we should think about that because we've heard of some great battles, some epic showdowns in the scriptures recently. So what do you think? Who do you think was Jesus' greatest opponent? Satan? We heard about him last week and the temptation of Jesus in the desert. But guess what? Jesus defeated him. And that serpent, the devil, Jesus crushed his head as promised when he died on the cross. So he did away with that devil. Anybody else? Maybe Pharaoh? We think about Pharaoh, the ruler of Egypt that enslaved God's people, and he was stubborn and powerful, and they believed he was a god. Pharaoh believed he was a god. But you know what? God slapped him around with plagues and then drowned them and his armies in the Red Sea, and he was soundly defeated. Maybe going along that line, we could think of Babylon, the other powerful nation that enslaved God's people. Was that God's greatest enemy? Well, interestingly enough, just as God promised and planned, he sent God's people home from Babylon with a blessing. They were sent home with help from them, and God showed his power over those nations. We might think of Goliath and the Philistine armies, but God defeated him with a little boy and a stone. I want to tell you today that I think that maybe his greatest opponent was a humble Canaanite woman. We're going to read about her here now in Matthew 15, 21 through 28. And if you would stand with me as we read from God's holy word. This is the word of the Lord. And Jesus went away from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon." But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and begged him, saying, "Send her away, for she is crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered, "It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire." And her daughter was healed instantly. You may be seated. This is a really unique text. I mean, we see some amazing things from this woman, but we also see some peculiar things in how Jesus related with this woman. And he was really seeming to oppose her and deny her, turn her away, even knock her back at her attempts to come and receive a blessing. In fact, he seems almost cold and rude in this. This is an epic struggle, it looks like here. And we see a very persistent woman. And I want to say that as we go through this, this, I believe, becomes a picture for us of what our prayer life ought to be like and our faith in God and in Jesus. And as we look at this, then we're going to look at this as kind of a wrestling match between this Canaanite woman and Jesus, the Son of David. And we're going to see about wrestling with God in prayer and in several different ways. Even when life gets hard, even when we don't hear an answer, even when others won't help us and tell you to quit, Even when God seems to reject you, even when God seems to not love you or care about your plight. So first of all, wrestling with God or going to God persistently, even when life gets hard. You know, this woman had evidently heard of Jesus and probably of the miraculous things that he was doing. And she had also heard, you can tell, the promises of the Messiah, the promise of the Son of David who would come, the Messiah, their Savior. And this wasn't her God. She was a Canaanite woman, or if you look at Mark, a Syrophoenician. You can just understand this as a Gentile woman. So she was not one of the people of God who had received his word as they did, but she had yet heard about it. She was familiar with the promises of the Old Testament. And she clung to them. When she heard about this Jesus, the Messiah, the one who could do miracles and help people, she clung to that promise. And she boldly went forward. And she's crossing a lot of lines here. She is, as a woman, crossing cultural lines and boldly coming up to a man. But also, she's a Gentile woman, not one of the people of God, and she boldly approaches a Jewish rabbi. But she is in the midst of torment. Her life was really hard. It says that her daughter was severely oppressed by a demon. And you know, it struck me recently that we don't talk about this enough. I've had some conversations with people about demon possession and exorcisms and spiritual warfare. And you know, in the United States, for whatever reason, we don't see a lot of stuff like this. Maybe you've had different experiences than is common here, but we aren't even aware a lot of times that there is a spiritual battle going on all the time around us, and we just can't see it. There are angels and demons battling over your soul. And here we see a case where a demon actually was living inside of a little girl. She was possessed by this demon, and it was tormenting her. It was severe. And when we see cases of this in Scripture, these demons were wicked and would even cause people to hurt themselves. It was an awful experience, and this mother was in terrible distress. And in the midst of her great pain and fear and all of this, she thought about this Savior, this one who could help her, and she clung to that idea. Could you imagine how desperate you would be in that situation? I mean, what could be worse for a mother than to see that? And she clung to that. And you know, when life gets hard, you could say, well, you know what? There's cultural barriers. I couldn't cross that. I can't go there, and I couldn't approach God in that way. Or there's reasons why he wouldn't accept me. I'm just a Gentile, or I'm a person that doesn't deserve this. And life is so hard. You know, God, he probably wants people that have their life together. He probably doesn't want a family coming to him that's struggling with demon problems. He wants good, nice families that have their life all clean and put together. I can't go to God. But this woman boldly goes in the midst of her hardship and despite all these obstacles, and she goes right to Jesus. And she cries out to him, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David." And she puts her trust in him. So we can wrestle with God even when life is hard and there's obstacles. But let's look at this. His first response to her in verse 23, "But he did not answer her a word." And we're going to see that we can wrestle with God and pray to him persistently even when we don't hear an answer. But think of how discouraging this must have been and how awkward. She goes right to him and he just doesn't even say a word, doesn't acknowledge her. her prayer, her request to him. What do you do when you pray to God, even when you go to him and you've been bold and you've brought your request and then there just is no answer? You don't hear anything. You know, the easy thing would be just to give up or say, well, God must not care or God must not exist. But, you know, the devil's also going to poke at you and say, see, it was because of you. You didn't deserve this. You are not worth even answering. And it can be so discouraging. I hear people tell me often about the fact that, well, God hasn't answered my prayers, so why should I continue to trust in him, continue to pray? It's not working anyway. And the devil will love that answer from you. But hear what the psalmist says in Psalm 22, verses 1 and 2. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but I find no rest. You know, you're not alone when you feel that God is not answering you at all, and when you experience times of silence from God. Did you recognize those words I read from Psalm 22? That's what Jesus said, the Son of God, when he was hanging on the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? And even Jesus had a time on that cross when God, his Father, that he loved and that he had pleased with his life, God did not answer him at that time. Did God still love his Son? He did. Would God bring about good things in the end for Jesus and for everyone else through that? Yes. But Jesus experienced a terrible, painful time of silence before his own Father, God. And this woman too, and yet we'll see that this didn't deter her. She continued on. In the second half of this, verse 23, it gives us another obstacle, another attack on this woman, there's a thing that could have stopped her. We can see that we can wrestle with God even when others won't help us or they tell you to quit. And apparently the disciples were getting agitated with this woman who would not give up, even when Jesus didn't answer her. And they came to Jesus and begged him, saying, "Send her away, for she is crying out after us." And I don't know exactly what there was in their mind, like, Jesus, why aren't you healing her? Do you not care? Maybe they were questioning too. And who knows how much they actually cared about this woman and her plight at this moment. But ultimately, it seems that their motivation was that they just wanted her to go away. Do you experience in your life times where people around you, maybe even ones that you would think should support you, are not really caring about you and just want you to go away? It can be so discouraging in your life when you find obstacles, when people let you down. And I want to tell you the sad truth that even in the church, we are all still struggling with sin, and people are going to hurt you. Should that rattle your faith in God and trust in him? That he will answer your prayers? You could let that defeat you. You could become so angry at other people, at the church. These were the apostles who were trying to get rid of her. You could be so angry at people and blame God for it, blame the church. And the devil would love for you to do that, to have that turn to bitterness in your heart and to have you give up asking in God. But she is still not deterred, and this, I think, is an example for us that we should not be turned away even when people let us down and tell us to go away. And so, having had his disciples now come to him and ask him to deal with this and so she can be sent off, Jesus answers again here in verse 24, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." And again, Jesus is saying no. But I believe that we can here see that we should continue to wrestle with God and pray even when he seems to reject us. Now, Jesus is saying, I was sent to the people of the house of Israel, the people of God. I was on this mission for them. And it's true that at that time, Jesus' sole attention was given on pursuing them. Later on, we would see that Jesus has his mission changed to go even to the Gentiles. But in this moment, he is saying, I didn't come for you. You're not one of the people that I'm on a mission for. And how discouraging that must have felt for this woman. Now her fears are coming to life. I am a Gentile. I am unworthy to be here and ask for this thing for him to do for me. He didn't come for me. It's like I'm not a part of his family or his plan. Have you ever had God say no to you? And seems that he just doesn't care? Well, we see that Jesus actually ends up blessing her, and it turns to a yes, and we see that later on, Jesus does go on to a mission to the Gentiles. But in the moment, it can be so discouraging, and you could give up praying and hoping and in God and clinging to his promises and expecting him to help you in your needs, whatever they are. The devil would love for you to give up here and take this no as a final answer and walk away in discouragement. But this woman presses on. And she came and she knelt before him in verse 25, saying, Lord, help me. He just said no to her, and she presses in. She won't take this rejection. This is her only hope. She's clinging to this promise that Jesus is the one who can do something about her daughter's condition. She has nowhere else to turn, and she will not be deterred. Lord, help me, she prays. And then Jesus responds again with another obstacle, and he answered, it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. This might have been a common saying. It's certainly a clever statement, and you can picture this, that if you have children that you are feeding, and of course that's your responsibility as a parent to put a meal on the table, and you're not going to throw that to the dogs and let them have it. You are there to care for your children, and the dogs aren't worth as much as your children. They can have they're not going to be fed this prime meal. But of course, this comes at probably great offense to her. Because can you pick up on the insinuation here that she's not one of the children, but that she's a dog? Jesus doesn't actually say you are a dog, but that is certainly what you would probably pick up on. And you know, there are times in our lives where we might come across something really offensive too. And if we believe that God is in control of all things, which he is, and life doesn't go well for us, and we have a life that where we struggle with shame and insult and trouble, we would say, well, God really must not care about me. I must not be one of his children, one of his chosen ones. And we can get so offended. We could be discouraged by that and give up hope. But you know, maybe even more of a response that would be natural for us in this moment is pride. I am not a dog. How dare you say that to me? How dare you, God, treat me like this after what I've done for you? I've gone to church. I've been a good person. I taught Sunday school. I gave offerings at church. How dare you treat me like this? We can be so offended and turn from trust and expectation towards God to anger and bitterness and hatred towards him. But instead of saying, I am not a dog, and arguing with Jesus, she, in her cleverness, comes back with an equally clever statement here, playing on his picture of the dogs here. And she said to him, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." You know what she just said? I'll be a dog. I'll be a dog if it means I get to eat something that falls from your table. Amazing, the kind of humility. She looks at herself and she says, you know what? Maybe that's what I am. I don't have any argument about my own value before God, and I'm not going to make that case before Him. But I don't need to have the best stuff from God. I know that I would take anything from Him because He is so great. He is the source of everything that's good, and I'm not going to turn anywhere else. There is nowhere else I can look and be fed this eternal food and get this miraculous help. This is the only place I can look, and I'm not turning away. I'll be a dog. And she has this beautiful view of God, that His love and grace for His children is so abundant that it overflows. It spills off the table, and there is plenty under that table for dogs to eat. And even if it was just the crumbs, her daughter would still be healed. She would get the help she needs. She would be satisfied and helped by God. Are you willing to be a dog? Are you willing to say, God, I don't have anything to offer. I'm not coming with my own value before You. I'm coming because You are the one who can help me. You are the one that I need. We can go before Him and in humility, and we should actually look at ourselves and recognize that we don't deserve any of this. Scripture tells us so much about our unworthiness, our sin, our offense before God, all of these obstacles that we have before Him. We're outsiders. We're enemies of God. Corrupt sinners. Dogs, you could say, maybe. And yet, we have this here, this example of faith, because Jesus now turns around and says, this woman has great faith. Isn't this amazing? Jesus, in the midst of this, He's been thwarted. He's silent, and this woman won't go away. He tells her no, basically. She won't go away. He says something that she could have been offended by, and she won't go away. She persists through all of these obstacles, and Jesus is defeated. He finally lost a match. He had just defeated the devil and sent him away. The devil ran away with his tail between his legs, and now this woman gets him to submit and give her a blessing. But Jesus really wanted this all along. And you can see this. He's happily defeated. He desired, actually, despite all appearances, He desired for this woman to be blessed. And in this moment, we see that He is happy for her. "O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire." And her daughter was instantly healed. You know, life is going to have a lot of troubles for you. And any one of them, through your own pride or weakness, or through the lies and tricks of the devil's turning you, or the devil turning you sour and bitter towards God, any one of those things could cause you to let go of God's word, let go of His promises, to give up hope, and to just despair and be angry with God and reject Him. Any one of those could get you. But God wants us to continue to come to Him. He wants our trust to be in Him alone. And He actually loves it when we are persistent in prayer, when we keep going back, because, you know, it shows that we know that there's nowhere else we're going to turn. There's nowhere else we're looking for hope. And this is a great example for the disciples and for us, that this isn't the disciples getting God to bless them for being such good followers. This is a woman who had everything going against her. but God wanted to bless her. And you might feel like you have everything going against you, but God cares about you and desires to bless you. So go to him with your prayers. Go to him persistently, like a little child. Hang on his leg and don't let go. Ask him again, Daddy, help me. Daddy, feed me. And he will hear your prayers and answer you. Let us pray. Oh Lord, our God, we come before you as humble people who don't deserve to even approach you. And yet you have given us this beautiful picture of faith where a woman like us comes to you and looks only to you for blessing, and you delight in caring for her needs and helping her daughter. And we pray, Lord, that we would trust you like that, that we would not look anywhere else, that we would not believe the lies of the devil or give in to our own pride, but that we'd be willing to even be a dog if it means getting scraps from your table. We'd be willing to be humbled before you and trust in you alone. Lord Jesus, help us all. In your name we pray. Amen.